Amen. Can we give our teachers just another big hand clap? Man, I didn't know we had so many teachers and educators here in our church. No wonder our church is so blessed because we have so many teachers. I mean, do you know that these are the people that spend the majority of the time with your kids? Should we give them another hand clap for that? I know what you mean. I am so glad that our kids are out of school and they are on to other things. But man, I tell you, it's nothing like a great teacher that pours into the hearts of our children. And so, not to belay the time, but we are in a new sermon series. We've finished the proximity series in that we took about 10, 12 weeks going through the book of Ephesians, and the theme of that sermon series was proximity, and that how that our closeness to God causes us to live and to walk and to do things in a certain way. But this Sunday, I have the pleasure of opening up a new sermon series that is called Honest Emotions. And this sermon series, the tagline to this sermon series is this: it's expressing honest emotions to a listening God. Expressing honest emotions to a listening God. Have you ever felt like you couldn't talk to God? Have you ever felt like, man, you just keep everything in because you're so ashamed, you feel so much guilt? Well, I come to tell you today, and we come to tell you over these next few weeks, that we have a listening God. God listens to us, and we can express our emotions to a listening God. And so today, this first sermon, as I kick off this Honest Emotions series, is this. Our first sermon is this, is I confess. Have you ever just felt like, God, I'm sorry, God, I confess. And so that's what we're going to talk about today in Psalms 51. So if you can, as you stand, if you would, turn to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. And as you stand, you can say that I have it. If you don't have it, say hold up. And while you're doing that, I just want to say, as I always say, I'm just so honored to have the opportunity to stand here and to proclaim God's word. I thank God for the elders. I thank God for the staff. I thank God for you allowing me to speak into your life and to preach God's word, and I'd never want to take that for granted. And so I just want to thank everyone for the opportunity that I have today. I want us to pray for Pastor Jay and his wife as they get some much needed R&R. For you guys who don't know, that's refreshing and relaxing, or relaxing and refreshing. I don't know which one it is, but it's two of those R's, refreshing and relaxing. So if you have it, if you're in Psalms 51, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. All right, it's no hold up. Psalms 51 reads like this. Verse 1 says, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, God, blot out my transgressions. If you would, underline, blot out my transgressions. Highlight it. Do whatever that you need to do. Verse 2 says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. He says, God, for I know my transgressions. And God, my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. We just thank you, God, for this opportunity to stand before these, your people, and proclaim your word. Thank you, God, for this word today, God, as we come to the understanding, God, that we can express our honest emotions to you, God, because you are a listening God. And I pray, God, that this theme, God, doesn't fall on the rocky grounds or on the stony places of our heart, but it falls on the fertile soil of our heart, God. So that, God, that we could walk in freedom, God, in knowing, God, that when we raise our hands, when we bow our heads, God, and say, God, I confess and I'm sorry, God, your word says that you are just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. And so, God, I just thank you, God, that falls on the good soils of our heart. And God, here I stand. I ask you to use me for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. Lord, I decrease, and I ask you to increase. Holy Spirit, come in and rest, rule, and reign in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. As you take your seat, let everyone say amen. Amen. And so over these next few weeks, what we're going to deal with honest emotions. And I don't know if you saw the Facebook post, but I posted something on Facebook, and it kind of really just sums up everything that I want to talk to you about today. And that is this big question is, what do you do when you blow it? Have you ever just blown it? Have you ever just felt like, man, I messed up? I certainly can testify to blown it, because I thought I had really blown it. I thought that my marriage was over. I thought my business career was over. I thought that I had lost some friends that I really enjoyed spending time with, some friends that our hearts were just together, but man, the mistakes I made, man, I really felt like I blew it. And there was no way that God was going to ever use me again. Have you ever felt like what you've done, it's so bad that you never feel like God is going to ever use you again? You never feel like there will be a church on the face of this earth that would allow you to even represent God again. Have you ever felt like you really blown it? And I know that I have blown it, and I know that I am not alone in this. Because I know secretly, as you sitting on your hands, I know there are some people out here that want to raise two hands and say, man, I blew it yesterday. But we've all blown it sometimes in our lives. We did something, we said something, we acted a certain way, we cursed someone out. We didn't treat someone the way that a godly person was supposed to treat someone. We really all blown it in some shape, form, or fashion. And when we blow it, we really know that we've displeased God. Have you ever just on the inside just know deep down within the inside that what you've done, man, you know it just really displeased God. But what do you do? What do you do when you've made the mistakes that you feel like you can never rebound from? What do you do when you've done something that you feel like you will never rebound from, that you can never move forward from, that's going to always be a stain on you? That I like how Psalms 51 opens up. It says it right here at the top. It says, for the choir director, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him, catch this, it says, after he had gone into Bathsheba. What do you do when your sin makes headline news? What do you do when your sin goes viral? What do you do when all of your friends, they start to inbox you and ask you what's going on with you? I know that's never happened to anybody here, but at these other churches are full of folks that has really blown it. Not at Connect Church, though. Not at Connect Church. But what happens after we blow it? I love God, and I love how God shows his love for us. And so after we have blown it, Psalms 51 records the answer to this question. What happens when we blow it? You see, Psalms 51 was written by David the king. But really the story, not that David, the real King David. If y'all don't know what I just did, don't worry. He's all right. Psalms 51 is actually the response to what happened in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. You see, in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12, David the king, the text says, no, turn there, please turn there, because I got to show you this. And I'm going to get back to Psalms 51. But please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I'm going to read from the NASB. And when I read this, you're going to really, it's going to really connect. And I usually don't like to jump from scripture to scripture, but I really got to show you this. 2 Samuel chapter 11, it says this. It says, then it happened. The question I ask is, what happens when you blow it? But it always starts somewhere. Okay. For David, it started in chapter 11. The text says, then it happened. What it? What are you talking about? It says, in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But catch this, when there's an it, there's always a but. When we blow it, there's always a but that's involved in the it and when we blow it. The but says here, it says, but David stayed in Jerusalem. So for David, the it started in 2 Samuel, and it started when he was supposed, the text says that he was supposed to be out to war. Somebody's it here started when you were supposed to be at work, but you was out beside the pool. Somebody's it started when you were supposed to be at home, but you were having a drink with some guys or some girls. The it that caused us to blow it always starts somewhere. So for David, it started when he was supposed to be at war. And then if you keep going in 2 Samuel, it says that David went out on his king, out and he stood out and he saw all of everything that was his kingdom. He was out there standing. And the text says that as David was out there standing, he saw the, and I love the Bible. The Bible says that he saw a beautiful woman. He didn't see a decent looking woman. The Bible says he saw a beautiful woman. And the Bible goes on to say that David, in one particular translation, it says that David lingered. Have you ever lingered somewhere just a little bit too long? Have you ever watched somebody walk by just a little bit too long? And can I drop a secret? I'm about to blow the lid off of this, guys. We now see with us, it's like evident. We just like, but a woman, oh my God. Oh, they're skillful. They're skillful. Don't be fooled with that smile and, oh, babe, did you see those shoes he was wearing? That's a nice jacket he has on. Okay, I'm gonna keep going because somebody gonna throw some rocks at me. Somebody gonna throw some rocks at me. So David lingers, and I'm not gonna go into all of the story. I want you to promise to read it. But what happens? The end result is that David got into a David had relations with Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was not single. She was married. And so, as you keep reading in 2 Samuel, David not only sleeps with Bathsheba, but David kills Bathsheba's husband, or has him killed. And so David is going along as if nothing ever happened. He's like, I'm the king. I can do whatever I choose. I'm King David. And just like God always sends a person. God always sends someone in our life to bring us back in relationship with God. God always sends someone in our lives that checks us. And if you don't understand what check means, it means to hold you accountable, to bring to your attention something that you're doing wrong. God always has a person that will grab you in your collar and tell you what you're doing is wrong. The person for David was the prophet Nathan. And the prophet begins to tell David this story. He tells David this story of a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man had everything, and it says that a traveler came by, and instead of the rich man taking from the riches that he had, he took from a poor person. He took the one thing that this one poor person had, and he gave it to the traveler. And the king said, that man should be put to death. I mean, there's something wrong with him. He should be put to death. The prophet says to David, David, you are the man. David, you are the man. What do you do when somebody comes to you in love and tells you that you're the woman, that you're the man? What you're doing is not what God has intended for you. That you're, even though you're a Christian, even though you're saved, even though you come to church, when somebody comes to you and points out your sin in love with grace and tells you it's you, what do you do when you know it's you? I like that old song where it says, God, it's me, standing in the need of prayer. And so Psalm 51 is David's response to this whole ordeal. And David just begins to pen Psalms 51. And David gives us the answer to the question, what do you do when you blow it? And can I tell you today, can I stand here and tell you, the first thing that you do when you blow it is do what David did. If you continue to read in 2 Samuel, David didn't blame anyone. He didn't say, man, if she wasn't so fine, and man, if she didn't have on that swimming suit. He didn't say any of that. He didn't blame, like, man, I was weak. It was a time. He didn't blame nobody. David didn't blame a soul. What David did in Psalms 51, he says, I confess that God, it's me. He acknowledged his sin. If you look at verse 1 through 4, again it says, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. He says, for I know my transgressions. And he says, my sin is ever before me. And so instead of, I'm not going to blame the system, I'm not going to blame anyone else, God, I'm just going to raise my hand and say, God, I confess. And so the first thing that you do when you know you've blown it is just raise your hand, bow your head to God, and say, I confess. I know it, I confess it, and then make no attempt to hide it. Who can hide something from God anyway? He knows all, he sees all anyway, but what God wants to do is he wants to know that you've sinned. And so the first thing that you have to do when you have blown it, the first thing is you have to come clean. And as you look at Psalms 51, Psalms 32, turn there with me real quick. When I was studying for this and I saw Psalms 32 answers a big question, because sometimes, have you ever felt heavy? Have you ever felt like, man, you're carrying the weight of the world? Have your knees ever ached? Have your bones ever just ached all over? Psalms 32 says this. It says, how blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Catch this. Verse 3 says, when I kept silent about my sins. He says, I wasted away. When you hold in your sin and you don't confess it, it feels like the weight of the world. It feels like everything and everyone is against you. Nothing is going the way. And he says, but when I kept silent about my sin, he says, though through my groaning all night long. Have you ever groaned all night long and you don't know why you're groaning all night long? Why can't you sleep? You're tossing and turning. For some of us, it's not insomnia. For some of us, it's nothing but we have unconfessed sin that we need to confess to God and acknowledge it and stop trying to hide it. He says, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. Have you ever felt like God's hand was just heavy on you? Have you ever been whooped by God? I can show you what it's like. I still have the fresh scars on my back from when God just put his foot in my back. Has God ever just put his foot in your back? He says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. He says, my vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. All this Texas heat, man, it must be a lot of unconfessed sin in Texas. He says this, I acknowledge my sin to you
and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. All you have to do is acknowledge it and confess it. Don't try and hide it. Come clean. Confession, there's an old saying, it goes, what? Confession is good for the soul. But not only did David show us confession, but in verse 6, he says this. He says, verse 6, verse 6, he says, behold, you desire the truth in the innermost beings, and in the hidden parts you know, you will make me know wisdom. Catch this. Verse 7 says, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. And here it is. I told you to underline this in verse 9. He says, and blot out all of my iniquities. I'm going to help someone today, because some of us, we have confessed our sins, but we haven't asked God to cleanse us. If you ever find yourself doing something over and over and over again, have you ever had that sin, that thing that you just keep going to God over and over again? God, I'm sorry, God, I know I said I wasn't going to do it again. I think this will help you. So for some of us, we think that when we sin, our sin is forever imprinted on our life. I mean, I don't care what the sin is. Lies, cheating. I mean, whatever the sin is, some of us, even though we believe God and we know that God is a forgiving God, but for some of us believe that we wear our sins around our neck like a badge. Like there's no way that God is going to ever forgive me of that. Everybody's going to always know what I did. We sometimes wear our sin like a shirt, like it's a part of us. But can I help you today? Our sin is not something that we can that we have to carry around. Our sin, the way God sees our sin, when we sin and when we confess our sins, First John 8 says this. It says that when we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And then when we ask God to cleanse us, some of us think it's when we think that our sin has been clean, that we think it's over there, that you can always go back and get it. But can I tell you, the Bible teaches us this, that and this is when David asked God, he says, God, blot out my iniquities. God, blot out all of my iniquities. Here's what God does, and here's what that word there means. That word in Hebrew means, it doesn't mean to strike out to where it can still be seen. When David asked God to blot out, what he's asking God to do is, God, wipe away all of my sin. God, take my sin, as your word says, and cast it as far as the east is from the west. God, I don't need, God, can you blot out my sin to where people won't even know that I did the sin, that I was even a part of it? Because when God cleans you up, God cleans you up all the way. God does not clean you up halfway. God does not, he doesn't There's not stains, there's not anything there, because God will wipe out all of your sin. See, this is going to free somebody, because you still think that something that you did 10 years ago, that people are still holding it over you. Can I tell you this? When God cleans you up, all you do is, when you confess it to God, God's going to wipe that sin away and give you a new start every day. But all you have to do is just believe it and live like it. You don't live like you can go back and pick that up again. You live as though it's been wiped away. Because that's what David is asking God to do. And didn't God, if you continue to read about David, you will see that God blotted out his transgressions. Why? Because the Bible says that David is known as a man after God's own heart. But this is the same dude that took someone's wife and took someone's life. I heard when I was going through, a preacher friend, I heard him say this, and it stuck with me. He says, if you walk the righteous road long enough. See, some of us, we've confessed it, and we ask God to cleanse us, but we don't walk the righteous road long enough. We stop and we turn and we start to bring up, and we start to think that everybody remembers something that they were almost about to forget. Somebody here had never had to when you've had to walk that road, you understand what I'm saying. And so what David does is he shows us that the way to answer that question, what I do when I blow it, the first thing that I do is I confess it, I acknowledge it to God. The second thing I do is I ask God to cleanse me. And the third thing is, this is what I love about God. God cleanses you. But look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, God, after you cleanse me, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me. He says, God, don't cast me away from your presence. See, this is when you know that your heart is broken and your heart is bent toward God. When even just the thought of God taking the Holy Spirit, the thought of God taking his presence away from you, that breaks your heart more than anything else, because you know what it means to have a relationship and be close to God. And you know if God takes his presence away from you, that you're nothing. He says, God, renew me, create in me. God, don't cast me away. He says, God, restore me. So can I tell you this today? Even when you've blown it, renewal is possible. And then when God renews you, he will also restore your joy. Because in verse 12 it says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with the willing spirit. And then catch this. See, some of us, we're still in this place to where we haven't, our joy for God hasn't been restored, because we're still holding on to past sins. But when you confess it and you ask God to clean you, I'm telling you, God can restore you. And when he restores you, look at verse 13. Verse 13 says this. It says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. See, that's the restored joy that we need. But sin, sometimes it steals our joy. We can't let sin steal our joy. And so, can you imagine for a minute what your life would look like if you came to God and you came to God honestly and confessed your sins, no matter how old sin it was, no matter what you did, if you just honestly confessed your sin, how much freedom would you have? How much joy would you have? What would your household look like if you no longer carried the weight of past sins? Even if it was a sin 30 seconds ago, it's a past sin that you can confess and come clean to God. What would it look like for Connect Church if we are a fellowship of believers who are experiencing God at the highest level? Because we walk with each other, holding each other accountable, speaking love into each other, being a Nathan for someone. You see, if you don't have a Nathan in your life, I'm telling you, you're really missing it. It was because of a Nathan that I'm even here where I am. It's because I have a Nathan in my life. This little short, older man. I went into his office for spiritual counseling. He didn't physically grab me in my collar, but he spiritually grabbed me in my collar and says, "Man, the state of your household, the state of your marriage depends on you." And he spiritually shook me. Every time I would go to his counseling office, the first thing before we even sat down, he would say, "Have you even looked at a woman in a wrong way today?" And I had to confess, no. He says, "Have you loved your wife the way that you know you're supposed to love her?" I said, "Yes." You need a Nathan in your life. What would Connect look like if we were Nathans to each other? And as I close, verse 17 says this. You see, we try to bring all of these things to God. We try to bring service. We try to bring offerings. But none of those sacrifices, God really cares about. Do you know the only sacrifice that God really cares about is a broken and contrite heart? You see, God sees you. He sees us. He knows everything we're doing. He knows it before we even do it. But what God wants to know from us is that when we sin, it breaks our heart. And it breaks our heart that we displeased him. It says in verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise." God will not despise a person's heart that is broken, that's repentant, that's contrite, that's sorrowful. And when you confess it, when you ask him to cleanse you, he will consecrate you and restore your joy. So I don't know who's here today with every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want to pray for us today. Pray that we continue to have broken and contrite hearts. I pray that we understand that we can go honestly to God. I tell you, some of the best prayers that I've ever had have been those prayers where I am alone and I just start crying, and I mean I'm just bawling and I'm really broken because I've done it again, and God just continues to just pick me up and lift me up and dust me off and set me right back on plane. because I acknowledged. I confessed it. I didn't try to hide it. And so, God, I just thank you for those of us here today, God, that we continue to have a broken heart, that our hearts are contrite, that we're sorrowful. God, I know we have the propensity to just do it over and over again. But God, your grace and your mercy endures forever. And so, God, I just pray that we take that away today, that your grace endures forever. Our part is, God, we just have to confess it. Ask you to wash us clean. And ask you to consecrate us, God, so that we could be renewed. And so, God, I just thank you for all that you're going to do in and through the life of Connect Church, God. Thank you that this song, that this Psalms falls on the good souls of our heart, God. Lord, that for some of us, God, we might can't express it verbally, but God, we can do like David did, and God, just write a journal to you of our emotions, our feelings. And God, you're so faithful, God, that you're just and faithful to forgive us. And so we just give you praise, glory, and honor for it. And so as the team comes, I'm going to ask you to stand. And if there's anything that you would like to talk to God about, I'm opening up the altar. This is just between you and God. And if there's someone here today that don't know God in the pardon of your sins, if you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give you this opportunity today as well. And so if that's you, I want you to come down. I'll be standing down front. I just want to pray with you, those who would like for me to. And if not, just come down and just kneel down and just confess to God. Amen.